one of the things we'll definitely ask Jeff Capel about, who joins us now. Jeff has been very active on social media the last few days as he's been practicing social distancing. This weekend, he was asking his followers to give him some tips or recommendations on the greatest song of all time, Chris. And I recommended Lick It Up by Kiss. And I never heard back from Jeff. Jeff, I don't know if that's because it was a no-brainer selection in your mind or if there's something else maybe you wanted to possibly bring up now. This would be the time to do it.
Well, I have to listen to it.
You don't have, trust me, you don't have to do that. It's terrible.
I don't know the song, so I couldn't comment on it because I don't know it. I got some interesting responses, really good responses, and you know, I love all kind of music. It's incredibly moving and inspirational and makes you feel good, and so it's just something I love to have fun with.
Jeff, I don't know if you saw this, but in terms of it being emotionally moving, obviously New York is pretty much the epicenter right now of this COVID-19 outbreak in the U.S., and it was a video circulating around on Twitter this weekend that it was a bunch of people rapping along to Juicy, I think it was, by Biggie in Brooklyn. Did you happen to see that come through your timeline at all?
I did not see it. That's something that was really cool to see.
Okay, that's one you want to check out because it's chill-inducing how loud it is and how many people are clearly taking part in it.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised by that in Brooklyn, man. I mean, they love Big there, obviously. You know, for obvious reasons, that's where he's from. But, you know, New Yorkers are really, really passionate about their music, especially hip-hop, especially if it's a homegrown person.
Jeff, we'll get to some of the things about your basketball team and also what the NCAA, I guess, is discussing right now as we speak. But one more thing on, like, you know, the world we're living in and how we're filling up the time. I have just been devouring, much to my wife's chagrin, old games on YouTube. And one of the games, this might only appeal to me, I have to ask you about. I found this game from 1995. Doc Emrick, the great NHL broadcaster, was the play-by-play guy. Your dad's Old Dominion team won a 3-overtime game against Villanova as a 14 seed in the first round of the NCAA tournament. And I just found it, and I watched it back. And I just wanted to tell you that. It was one of the great hidden gem games of all time.
It's a really awesome game. I remember my mom and I were actually in Lynchburg, Virginia, because my younger brother, if I'm not mistaken, I think he was in ninth grade, and they were in the state semifinals. And so we had watched his team. I think they won that night, and we got back to the hotel, and we're watching my dad's game on TV. I think they were in Albany.
Yep.
And that was
That's
my
right.
dad's first year. Yep, that was my dad's first year at Old Dominion. He had some really, really good players. And it was interesting because his best player, the kid that was preseason player of the year, tore his ACL early in the season. And so he missed the year. And then there was other guys that stepped up. One guy who's the head coach at DeMatha High School, the powerhouse in Washington, D.C. Mike Jones was on that team and had some really, really good guys on the team. That's a heck of a game.
Well, Jeff, I got to ask you about the guy that became noteworthy for that, his performance in that game. Like, this was 10-year-old me was watching this devouring the NCAA tournament, and the name Petey Sessoms is, like, burned.
Oh, yeah.
Burned into my memory because of that game.
Yeah. No, he was really, really good. He ended up becoming player of the year that year. Had a heck of a senior year. Really scored, shoot it, tough, you know, really competitive. Again, my dad inherited some really good guys, that senior group of Petey, Mike Jones, Mario Mullen. I mean, I remember those guys. That was my sophomore year. It actually was interesting because, you know, that was the year Coach K was out.
Yeah.
So that was the only year we did not make the NCAA tournament at Duke. And so I actually got a spring break. I was home, and I was with my dad. Our family was, you know, like the team got together, Old Dominion's team, for their selection show. It was a really, really confident team, and they beat a very, very good Villanova team with Kerry Kittles and Alvin Williams and Carnegie and those guys.
And unbelievable jerseys from Villanova in that game too, by the way, if you want to go find it. We're with Jeff Capel from, obviously, Pitt head basketball coach here. And we do have some news that I want to just get your thoughts on. This comes from Jeff Goodman, who's very plugged into college basketball. He said this just in: college basketball underclassmen can sign with and accept permissible benefits from an NCAA-certified agent and still retain their eligibility and return to school. Jeff, what does that mean, and what does that mean for programs like Pitt?
It's interesting because I'm just hearing that. I haven't heard. I've actually, for the past couple of days, tried to stay off social media a little bit because of the just all the negativity with what's going on. I should say the reality of what's going on. I think you're going to see more kids testing the waters now. That's what I think will happen with that. I think it's a good decision. I do think they should be able to get informed information. To me, my initial thought, my knee-jerk reaction to that is, it's another example of, I think there's a divide there. I think that sometimes a kid and his parents don't think that the coaches may be giving them accurate information. I'll never forget this. When I was at Oklahoma, it was after my second year, Blake Griffin had just completed his freshman season and had an opportunity, obviously, to go pro. And we met, and I told him, listen, the very first thing, man, like, you and I have to be on the same page. You're going to be hearing stuff that I'm going to lie to you to try to get you to come back. And that's not the case. Like, it's your decision. I just want to support it and get you accurate information. But that's what happens in these situations. These kids, their families, they're getting a lot of information. And a lot of it could be, hey, don't trust the coach. He's going to try to get you to come back for his own game. So that's one of my initial reactions. It's going to be really interesting how the agents get certified. Is that a thing in each state? There are different qualifications for each state. Is it something where it's, like what if an agent doesn't want to go through the certification process? I remember when that initially came out that the agents had to do that. A lot of agents balked at it. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Jeff, how does it affect the way you do your job in the sense of what you to me, it sounds like at first when you're describing, maybe the immediate impact that players will be able to get better information and test the waters and make a more informed decision. That seems like a good thing. Seems like it might make your life easier, that guys aren't going to be distrusting or having voices in their head. But then what you just say right there is it sounds like there's a lot more red tape, bureaucratic stuff going on that you're going to have to also maybe keep your eye on because you don't want somebody that's not a certified agent coming in and something like that happening. So how does that affect you in terms of the way you will do your job?
Well, it affects us. I mean, this will be big. And the reason I say that is that even though an agent can be certified by the NCAA, it doesn't mean that they're a good agent. It doesn't mean that they're given accurate information. I mean, this is all a business. And agents get money off of the player turning pro. They don't get money by a kid going back to school. There's nothing in it for them for that. So if an agent's going to, invest money as far as paying for flights, paying for, like different things. And again, I don't know the extent of the rule yet. But if an agent can pay for these things, that's not for free. And so whether it's NBA or whether it's overseas, a lot of people don't know. An agent, for most standard NBA contracts, an agent can get 4%. That's kind of the normal rate. If you're a really good player, you can negotiate that down. If you're someone that's going to be a high pick, you can negotiate that down to 3%, 2%. People overseas, they get 10%. And so, it may not be NBA, but it could be more kids leaving early for overseas jobs. How are they going to control these runners? I mean, look, that's the world I live in.
Yeah.
That's the reality. And even though they're certified, that doesn't mean everyone that works for them will be certified. Everyone that's in representing that, that particular agent will be certified. And so that's the world we live in. There's a lot of information circulating out, out there. There are a lot of people trying to get to these kids, trying to get to their parents. There are more avenues for them to do it now because of the social media and because of the direct message aspect of those things. And so it's going to be really interesting. I mean, every year you see the transfer portal going up.
Mm-hmm.
These numbers are astronomical. you know, it'll be interesting in light of what we're going through right now in the world with the COVID-19 if the NCAA decides to table the one-time transfer thing. I think that, you know, from information I heard, that vote was supposed to be coming up in April. I think they may push that to June. If that goes into effect at some point, at any point, those numbers will continue to go up. And the way that we recruit, the way college basketball recruits, college coaches, really all of college athletics, that will change greatly.
Jeff Capel, Pitt basketball coach, joining us. A good time, too, because there are some news items coming down here that affect Pitt basketball, you'd think. One of them is that the NCAA is expected, Jeff, in the next 2 hours to announce a ruling on whether seniors, winter sports seniors, will get another year of eligibility. That's already happened with the spring sports. What do you kind of want to see come of that, and what do you think will happen with that, Jeff?
Yeah, you know, I don't think it should happen for the winter sports, and I don't mean to be harsh by that or anything, but, you know, this is what's going on in this country, all over the world, but especially in our country right now, is bigger than basketball. And it's really unfortunate. I feel for those, all of the players, especially the seniors, and especially for the young men and women in basketball, that maybe this was their first time going to the NCAA tournament or having an opportunity. So I feel for them. But this is real, like, this is life. This is real life. And we got 98% of our season in. So I don't think it should happen in our sport. If they do it, then I'm supportive of it. But I just don't think it should happen. The thing that would be interesting to me is how many of them would want to. You know, normally when you're a senior, man, like, you're ready kind of to move on. You know, especially if you're graduating, you know, you're ready to move on. You don't really want to do school anymore. If you have an opportunity, you know, to pursue a professional career, whether it's, you know, in basketball, whether it's here in the United States, or you have an opportunity overseas, you know, you're kind of ready to do that. But it's not something that I think that should happen.
What would be the kind of consequence? I think, like, people on the outside maybe see the sentimental part of the story, Jeff, and they empathize with these kids or sympathize with these kids who are being denied maybe that first trip to the tournament. What's the trickle-down effect if that year of eligibility is extended to seniors for next year that maybe makes it problematic moving forward?
Well, you know, to me, it would just be like, you know, how do you implement it? Is it just for the seniors that were going to be in the tournament? Like, our season was over with. We finished Wednesday. They canceled everything starting on Thursday. And so what our seniors, like, we didn't have a chance at the NCAA tournament. So the teams that didn't have a chance to make the NCAA tournament, would it be their guys? Would it be only the teams that were still left playing? You know, what would you do with the scholarships? You know, I think it's, like, I understand the sentiment. Like I said, I feel bad for it, but there's also a monetary piece to this as well. You know, people talk about all the stuff, the NCAA and things like that. Well, I was on the NABC board back when I was the head coach at Oklahoma, and I know that was a while ago, but when I was on that board, men's basketball and the contracts for men's basketball made up, I think, 95% of the money that the NCAA received on an annual basis. There was no NCAA tournament. Obviously, there's a loss of revenue there. That all Division I, Division II, Division III NCAA teams, you don't get this year, or it's going to be a lot less. And so how would you handle the scholarships? You know, instead of being 13, because you already have kids signed, most people already have kids signed, would they increase the scholarships? Whose budget can fix that? Would that be, you know, a thing that each institution decides? Can you afford it? What does that do to the other sports? And so that's what I mean. Like, it's, look, I understand the sentiment about it, but, man, we're dealing with some real stuff out here.
Yeah.
And some stuff that's affecting the world, that's affecting college athletics, and that may have a lasting effect on this, man, that could completely change it. And so that's why I just think there are too many things where it shouldn't happen.
Great catching up with Pitt basketball coach Jeff Capel here on 93.7 The Fan. Jeff, what can you tell Pitt fans regarding Trey McGowan's transfer and what happened with him here?
Yeah, you know, Trey was a guy that was a good player for us. you know, for his first 2 years. You know, he chose to come to Pitt, you know, when I got the job. And, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, he and his family decided that they wanted something else. You know, they wanted an opportunity, you know, at least from everything I read, from what his dad said, from what Trey said, is that they want a chance to play the point guard spot exclusively. And, you know, I guess they felt like that wasn't going to happen here with Xavier. And so Trey's a good kid, you know, good family. And we wish him well. We wish him luck. I hope he's able to find what he wants, what they want as a family, you know, to put him in the best position that they feel for him to be successful.
Jeff, how hard is it right now in the current climate in this country and in the world? We just asked you, Pony just asked you about Trey, but to think about next year's team in terms of actual basketball, is it tough for you right now to focus in on what is your job with everything else that's going on and even project and think about the future?
Well, it's not hard for me to focus on my job, but it is hard to think about the future just because you don't know. Like, we're in uncharted territory, you know, in our world. Like, this does not happen. And so everything we're going through is new. Like, we don't know when we'll have an opportunity to work with our team again.
Yeah.
You know, to do anything. Like, let's take sports away. Like, when are these kids going to be able to go back to school? You know, if you're a senior in high school, you know, if you're the parent of a senior in high school, do you send your kid to college in the fall? You know, if this stuff isn't cleared up, or, you know, if there's not a vaccine, if there's – so it's just – it's so many questions about that, about real life stuff. And I'm not saying basketball and sports is not real life, but it's really not in the climate that we're in right now. People are losing lives. Family members are losing, you know, significant people in their family. You know, there are people that can't work. There are people that are struggling. And so, to me, as much as I love sports and I miss it, I miss watching it on TV, I miss my guys, I miss doing stuff, that's secondary right now. Now, my job is always my job. We're still actively recruiting as much as we can. We're utilizing Zoom and FaceTime and obviously phone calls and things like that, in constant communication with our team. You know, we're doing that. All of that stuff, you know, so you're still working. I'm still thinking about it. But as far as projecting right now, that's really, really hard because you don't know. Summer's a big time. Summer's a really, really important time for a basketball player. You know, for me, my approach has been, especially since I became a head coach, the summer is a time for a young man to be selfish. It's to work on your stuff. It's to improve your things. I'm a big believer the better guys get individually, then the better chance you have of becoming a better team. We have some key guys back. We also have some new guys. I don't know if we're going to have a summer. I don't know if we're going to be able to work with them in the summer. If that's the case, then that could set us back a little bit. But that would set everyone back. We're trying to encourage these guys as much as they can to do what they can right now. And there's not a lot they can do. They can get in the garage. They can work on ball handling. You know, not many people have a private gym, you know, a gym at their house. If they have a friend maybe, then maybe they can get into a gym. But, you know, it's we're more so worried about them, their safety, their families. You know, we have three kids up in the New York area, a couple kids in the New Jersey area. And so, you know, it's way bigger than basketball and trying to project that stuff for me right now.
Jeff Capel, Pitt basketball coach. Hey, Jeff, thanks for being so generous with your time, and thanks for indulging us on old NCAA tournament games and music.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Anytime.
You bet. Jeff Capel. Great talker. Just really good at that part of the job. Right, Chris?
I think he's great at that part of the job. I think he's a pretty good basketball coach, too. I think he also delivered there, I thought, a needed maybe dose of perspective. Like, when you hear somebody, it's his job. I thought he separated his job versus, like, the reality long-term of the situation really well there at the end.
All right, that was
so,
a very
–
I loved that. I didn't have that question, and when I heard you ask it, I was excited to get the answer from Capel. That was a really good question by you. I'm being serious.
Thank you, Pony.